Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is WTIC's Law Talk, a project of the Hartford County Bar Association. If you have a legal question, call now, 860-522-WTIC or 800-966-WTIC. And now, it's time for Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080 and WTIC.com.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Law Talk. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. A pleasure to be with you these Saturday afternoons. We are here right up until 1 o'clock. That's the plural. Yes, we've got an in-studio guest. We're delighted to have him back, and we're going to introduce you in just a moment. In the meantime, wanted to let you know that this is your legal interactive toolbox. If you've got a question about matters legal in nature, you want to sound off about something legal, not political, this is your soapbox. This is where you get your answers. You do that by calling us. Our number is 860-522-WTIC. That's 860-522-9842 if the numbers are easier for you than the letters. It's all the same. And we're going to be covering a number of different things. A lot of it is going to involve lawyers, but that doesn't mean that it's for lawyers. It's also for people that may have issues with lawyers. And that leads me to our guest. He'd been here many times pre-pandemic, and it's his first time back since we've had guests allowed live. Attorney Marc Dubois is a graduate of the College of the Holy Cross, where as an undergraduate student worker, one of his co-workers was a guy named Clarence Thomas. Some of you might have heard of him in legal circles also. He also distinguished himself. Marc graduated from the University of Connecticut School of Law, and professionally, he has touched all four bases professionally. He's worked for the government. He actually built the office of the Chief Disciplinary Counsel in the judicial branch. That is the office that investigates and prosecutes claims against lawyers. And that's one of the things that he is happy to discuss with you if you have issues of that nature. He's been in private practice in a couple of different settings, so he's got that experience. He's taught law to budding young lawyers-to-be at the University of Connecticut School of Law, and he's touched on corporate work, municipal specifically. He was the corporation counsel for a city in central Connecticut. In addition to everything else, he's a former president of the Connecticut Bar Association. He lectures extensively on a national level to the profession regarding ethics and professional responsibility. Yet there's more, folks. He is the co-author of the leading treatise in Connecticut on legal ethics and professional responsibility. He has even served on local boards and commissions and even did a stint as selectman in his town. And finally, if you see kids riding bicycles in underserved areas of cities in central Connecticut, there's a really good chance that some of those bikes were being ridden, were salvaged, personally rebuilt, and then donated discreetly by Attorney Dubois to kids that otherwise would not have that opportunity. So let me welcome back my good friend and colleague, Attorney Marc Dubois. Marc, welcome back to Law Talk.
Hello, John.
Well, that was loquacious and eloquent. Anyway, we have a number of things to talk about. And without getting further into Mark's background, we can talk about just about any topic that you want because his experience is so broad. So don't feel that if you've got a question about real estate or estates or something else, that that's for another time. We're happy to hear from you today. The phone number is 860 866-522-9842. That's 860-522-WTIC. Mark, one of the things that I think people really don't know an awful lot about is the whole business about this attorney-client relationship, how you find the attorney, how you form the relationship, how you work it, what happens if it goes sour. So if you would, I'd like to go over some of that with you, and I'd like to start off right from the beginning with getting an attorney that's going to be right for you, and the subtopic would be attorney advertising. It seems that we see more and more of that. This radio station has lots of it, so we're certainly not opposed to the idea of attorney advertising, but are there limits or things that the consumer needs to keep in mind in sizing that stuff up and listening to it or watching it critically and deciding just how much credence to give it?
Well, you know, the only rule on lawyer advertising is it can't be false or misleading. And the problem is, well, what is false or misleading, you know? So you can put a lipstick on a pig and claim it's, you know, she's Miss America. But at the end of the day, you know, you're still left with the pig. Now, how does that apply to lawyer advertising? Well, any of us can say anything we want, I suppose, under the First Amendment. We do run across a problem with false or misleading advertising when we claim abilities that we don't have or experience that we don't have. You know, you listen to my resume as you recited it. That's why I was laughing. I'm a master of all, a jack of all trades and a master of none. One of my great aunts said to me one day, "You can't seem to hold a job because you're always doing something different."
Oh, but I remember doing a couple of cases with you as co-counsel, and you certainly acquitted yourself extremely well.
Well,
and,
I remember that you wondered about some of my literary metaphors. So
blazing new vistas.
Yeah, knitting a mosaic, I think was.
Yeah, that one probably stuck in my mind also.
Yeah.
But on the business about attorney advertising, someone holds themselves out as an expert in a certain area. Well, that's pretty impressive. Should that be the response if attorney Jane Smith says, "Well, you know, I'm an expert in this area"?
Well, you know, I get an email a week from some organization that tells me that I have now accomplished enough in the practice of law, which I don't do anymore in many respects, but I have accomplished enough that I am now considered an expert and I can get a plaque, I can get listed in some book or magazine or advertising for only so many dollars. And I can put that on my advertising, and a lot of it is it's just a come on, and it appeals to credulous lawyers and credulous clients, you know. The Connecticut Rules of Professional Conduct do acknowledge that there are certain areas of quote expertise.
About seven of them.
Yeah, and criminal law, civil law, bankruptcy, real estate. And to get those qualifications, you have to really go through a fairly rigorous process of vetting. But there's very few lawyers who have that certification. And I was certified in civil trial advocacy for over 20 years, but I let it lapse because I wasn't trying any civil cases anymore. But there are a lot of lawyers, unfortunately, who advertise expertise well beyond their capabilities. And I remembered prosecuting a case. A young lawyer advertised that she or he was very experienced in family law. Well, family law is something that it has to be done in court. So I just go to the court computer, look up and see how many cases this lawyer had. Two in their whole career.
What did you do then as a regulator?
Yeah, I didn't think that was very experienced, and we had a little talk, a serious talk about that advertising. Now, let me tell you, I know most of the big advertisers, and many of them are really good lawyers. So I'm not saying advertising lawyers are not good lawyers.
But there's a lot of folks that think this is the way to build a practice, and you'd better have the credentials to do it.
Exactly.
In case you've just joined us, you're listening to Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Attorney John Matulis, and it's my pleasure to host these Saturday noontime get-togethers. This program is for you folks, and we're happy to dispense legal information, legal advice, hear what you have to say about your experiences with the law, and we do that by taking your phone calls at 860-522-9842. My guest today is Attorney Marc Dubois, a very, very experienced attorney, expert in certain areas, and we're happy to answer questions. We're going to discuss a lot of different things that'll be helpful for you, involving you and your lawyer, and we're going to do more of that after this break. All right, welcome back to Law Talk right here, WTIC News Talk 1080, WTIC.com, streaming audio on the net. Happy to hear from you. I hope you're enjoying the program. If you know anybody that's outside our extensive listening area that might like to listen, might like to give us a call, WTIC.com, click on it, go to the Listen Live. If you can get on the internet anywhere in this planet or anywhere else, you can hear Law Talk live. My name is John Matulis, and I am with the Hartford County Bar Association. My guest today, Attorney Marc Dubois. Marc, among other things, is an expert in lawyer discipline. So this is a great opportunity if you've got issues concerning your relationship with your lawyer or your past relationship with a lawyer, issues about billing, things of that nature. Love to hear from you, see if we can't help you out. The phone number, 860-522-WTIC, 860-522-9842. It's all the same thing, but the numbers may be a little bit easier on your device than the letters.
So you called me an expert, John.
Okay.
Now you can call me an expert. My mother can call me an expert. Well, my late mother. But I can't call myself an expert because expert in legal discipline requires certification. So it's kind of fascinating, but it's an honor. It's a rule that is honored sometimes more in the breach than the observance. But you know, so this goes back to what we were talking about before the break, that you know, anybody can say anything, you know, on the internet or in advertising. And the question is, well, how do you figure out who's good and who's not?
There aren't really standards that can quantify that. I'll tell you one thing that surprised me. This real estate practitioner certification, which is relatively new, that's probably one of the single most widely practiced areas in Connecticut, so far as I can tell. So the first class of attorneys certified as experts in that, 14 of them. That was it. And it just struck me. I mean, there's probably several thousand that are doing this on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably dozens of thousands.
So the takeaway, dear listener, is if somebody holds themselves out as an expert, you know, that's an issue. There's only these six or seven categories, and there are tests. There are certain things that you must do or accomplish in order to qualify for that. And as a result, the term is thrown around pretty loosely. If you're considering hiring an attorney, and we'll have lots more about that shortly, and there's some claim of expertise, just bear in mind as you size up this attorney as your possible representative that that's an area that is something you have to be very, very careful with. Okay, our phone number is 860-522-9842. Let's go to the phones. Hi, Maria in Farmington. You are up first. How can we help you here on Law Talk?
Oh, yeah. So if you buy a home and everything's all squared and you got your first tax bill and it's double what you saw on the paperwork that you signed, are you able to back out of that house deal after it's all been said and done because no one explained to you that the taxes were frozen?
Okay, so let me...
Because the people that used to live there were elderly, and that's what happened.
Uh-huh. I suspected it might have been that. I'm going to give you an answer, and then we're going to see what Attorney Dubois thinks about that also, because this may have something to do with the attorney that represented you at the same time, but we'll see. I suspected before you mentioned that the taxes were frozen that it might have been something like that. And as you've learned, and as some of our listeners might know, but others would be blissfully unaware, certain individuals get preferential tax treatment, either because of age or because of income limits, and I think in some cases because of military service. So it sounds to me, Maria, like you ended up purchasing a home from somebody who had the benefit of either what's called a circuit breaker or some other kind of preferential tax treatment. Does that sound like what happened?
Yep.
Okay, so the question here becomes, can you back out of the transaction? Well, if the deed has already been tendered and paid for and recorded, I would say that it probably is not the case. The taxes are a matter of public record, and somebody looking at them would probably be able to determine whether the taxes actually being charged were the result of some kind of special treatment or not. And we're going to get to the attorney role in a second, but let's see what Attorney Dubois has to say on that.
Well, did you have a lawyer for this transaction?
Yeah, there was a lawyer and a real estate agent.
And did you talk to the lawyer about this?
Well, it wasn't particularly me, but I had told her to talk to the lawyer about that, but it was a friend of hers, so she didn't want to get into it.
Well, you know, because like John says, this is something that lawyers who do real estate start by searching titles. That's how we all learn. You start at the bottom of the food chain. And in searching a title, you go over to the tax collector's office and you look at the tax information. You go to the assessor's office, you look at the assessor's information. It's all done online now.
Is that why you got a lawyer and pay them to do all that for you?
Yeah.
Mark, should Maria think about going back to the lawyer that
or
represented
the bank
her and saying,
for a house you can't afford?
Yeah. Say, hey, you never told me about this? Is that something Maria should consider?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so Maria, the answer to your first question is no, you can't really reverse or back out of the transaction because of the fact that the taxes that were adjusted were based on some kind of a preferential tax treatment that only the seller was eligible for. But I think that the lawyer that represented you needs to explain why it is that this wasn't explored further and explained to you at the time. Now, in terms of a claim against the lawyer, I guess the question is, what's the standard of care for a lawyer in those circumstances? Would you agree, Mark?
Yeah, like I was saying, this is not should not come as a surprise.
Yeah,
any reasonable examination of the land records would have revealed this.
Right.
And
we're going to have to break for news. But Maria, if you'd like to hold on, we'll keep you on hold and we can discuss this a little bit further. But right now we're going to have to break for news. So shall I have you hold on?
Yep.
Okay, thanks. Hold on, please. Okay, you're listening to Law Talk. It's Attorney John Matulis, my guest, Attorney Mark Dubois, and time for news, sports, and etc. We'll be back after all of that.
Back to Law Talk on WTIC, News Talk 1080.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you back here on Law Talk on WTIC. I'm Attorney John Matulis. We are here until 1 o'clock. My guest, Attorney Mark Dubois, experienced and expert in a lot of different areas. And as he's mentioned a couple of times now, I can say that, although he cannot. We're going to finish a conversation with Maria in Farmington, and then we're happy to talk to you further about any issues you may have, legal in nature. Let's go back to Maria. Hi, Maria. Are you still with us?
Yep.
Okay. Appreciate you holding on over the news break there. For listeners that may have just joined us, Maria purchased a house and apparently the tax adjustment at the time of the closing was based upon the taxes which the sellers were paying. They were the beneficiaries of some kind of preferential tax treatment, probably either a circuit breaker or something of that nature. And now Maria has a tax bill in her own name, and it's substantially higher. Is that pretty much the case, Maria?
correct.
Okay, and as we were mentioning before, and we're just going to have to wrap this up, it might be well for you to speak to your attorney who represented you at the closing about that. And don't let them blow you off and say that, well, you know, you just hired me for the closing. This was part of the closing. However, this is not going to rise to the level of anything that will allow you to undo this transaction. Mark, any last words for Maria before we let her go?
No, it's too bad, but it's an example of the fact that, you know, when you have a law license, you can do anything. I mean, any type of law, but not every lawyer. We used to say different horses for different courses. Not every lawyer knows everything about every aspect of the practice of law in all respects. So interview your lawyer. I have a friend, whenever he goes to a doctor, the first thing he says is, the doctor says, well, you know, you got a problem with your big toe. He says, well, how many big toe cases have you done? And what have the results been like? You know, and the doctors often are a little nonplussed, but he said, look, I'm a consumer. I'm going to interview these people and make sure that I get quality service. Well, do the same with the lawyer. How many closings have you done? You ever been sued for malpractice?
Okay, well, Mark, thanks very much for those remarks. Maria, appreciate your calling. Hope you found
it
helpful. Best of luck. All right, one thing specific to real estate that we should mention, and Maria's call brings this up. This is a situation where some attorneys who do this view the client as just a commodity. The client is referred to them by a real estate broker who is friendly with them. Mark, does that mean that they owe any less of a duty to that client than would be the case if the client walked in a different type of matter and followed the steps you're recommending, such as interviewing them and doing some research on the experience that they have?
No. And unfortunately, many people find their lawyers and lawyers find their clients on the internet these days. And that just changes the whole relationship. You know, if you're sitting down in somebody's office, you're looking them in the eye, you can interview them, you can decide whether or not you like the style of their practice, you know. But it's a different world. I mean, I was in a Walmart the other day. And I heard a guy, and he was in the next aisle, and he was trying to sell somebody on some service. And I looked over, and he was like wearing a bathing suit and flip flops. And he had the smoothest voice, and he would say, "Okay, just send in your money, and we'll get started on that program." And it's like, really? I mean, when I looked at this guy and his belly was kind of hanging over his belt, I'm like, oh, my God, I wouldn't hire him to rake my leaves.
But over the telephone, he sounded as assuring and as confident. Well, a little bit more about that in a minute. But before we do, I want to mention to folks that if you don't have a lawyer and you're looking for some legal advice and some legal information, we've got a great proposal for you because the Hartford County Bar Association operates a not-for-profit lawyer referral service. And the two questions that are always asked are, what do we get and what does it cost? So I'm going to answer that. Okay, what you get is a half-hour consult with an attorney, but the attorney's already been screened and vetted. Okay, they've demonstrated they have insurance. They have had their background checked to make sure that they are free of disciplinary entanglements with people like Attorney Dubois' successors or the office that he built, and also that they are experienced in the right areas. So you get a half-hour consult over the telephone in the attorney's office, do it Zoom, whatever the two of you decide. And there is no hard sell after that. There's no further obligation whatsoever. But if you're interested in legal services beyond that, you and the attorney are free to discuss that. If you agree to go forward together, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine also. Here comes the big part. All right, what's all this going to cost me? Because I know what hourly rates are that attorneys charge. Well, because it's a not-for-profit service, it costs you a one-time-only charge of $35 for the half-hour consult with no further obligation. But as they say in late-night TV, wait, there's more, okay? If you call them regarding your personal injury claim, they will waive the $35. If you call them regarding a Social Security disability claim, no fee for you either. Well, you haven't got either of those, but you got injured at work and you got a workers' comp claim. They're not going to charge you anything, no $35 fee. So that is the Hartford County Bar Association's not-for-profit lawyer referral service. How do you access them? Okay, this is the time you grab for the pencil. You access them by calling them at the number I'm going to give you in just a moment. And they'll either pick up the phone, or if you call them today, you'll leave a message and they'll get back to you. And here comes the number, 860-525-6052. That's 860-525-6052. That is the Hartford County Bar Association's not-for-profit lawyer referral service. It's done as a service to the community. You should take full advantage of it if you do not have an attorney. One last time, Hartford County Bar Lawyer Referral Service, 860-525-6052. Speaking of lawyers, my guest attorney, Mark Dubois, highly accomplished, in charge of the very first office of Chief Disciplinary Counsel, built it from scratch. They investigate and prosecute errant lawyers and those that might have appeared in the minds of somebody to be errant, but turned out not to be. We're going to talk about all of that, but we're welcoming your calls at 860-522-9842. You got an issue with a lawyer, you got a question about something of that nature, or anything legal in nature, happy to hear from you. So getting back to Mark, we've got a couple of minutes and then we're going to have to take a break, but let's talk a little bit about hiring an attorney. First of all, let's say that the client follows your advice, meets the attorney in person. There's a discussion. The attorney says, this is what I propose to do for you. Here's the layout here. What should the client be looking for from the attorney beyond that to make sure there's no confusion, no misunderstanding on what the nature and scope of all this is going to be?
Well, our rules of professional conduct require that lawyers, even if they're not charging a fee, and sometimes lawyers work for free, but even if they're not charging a fee, they have to give the client a paper, a writing, a letter, and document this relationship. And it has to have three components. One, what am I going to do for you? Number two, what am I going to charge you? And number three, the nature and extent to which you're responsible for expenses. So they will give you, they're supposed to give you, a paper, a writing, a contract, a document, a fee agreement, some memorialization of this relationship. And then a good lawyer will go over that with you and explain, this is how it works. This is how I get paid. This is when you will pay me. This is how much you will pay me. These are the circumstances under which I will be paid. This is how my fee will be calculated if it's a contingent fee.
So, dear listeners, advice directly from the source. That music means we're going to have to take a break, but we will be back and we'll be with you right up until 4 o'clock. My guest attorney, Mark Dubois. I'm attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. You're listening to Law Talk, WTIC and WTIC.com.
TIC, News Talk 1080.
All right, welcome back. I'm attorney John Matulis. My guest in studio this week, attorney Mark Dubois. And our job on these Saturday afternoons is to dispense legal advice, legal information. You can take advantage of us by asking us questions. And you do that by calling us at 860-522-9842. Next up, Thomas and Weetog. Hi, Thomas. You're on Law Talk. Tell us how we can help you.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. I learned so much from your show.
Thank you very much. Glad that you called.
I have recently, in the last few weeks, heard a lot of advertisements. I can't remember the name of the firm. I think there's at least one out there that's doing a lot of advertising, where they want to sell you insurance for your deed to your property. Basically, it's, I bought my house, I own it, I paid for it, it's all done and over with, and it's in the town registry, et cetera. But apparently, there seems to be some mischief afoot with some people who apparently have access to the online processes and can easily take over the ownership of your property by filling out some forms and claim to be the owner of your home.
Thomas, if this were television, you would see Mark and I both smiling at this point because we're in the middle of researching the topic, and we will probably discuss it in some detail next week. So I'm going to encourage you to listen, but I'm going to give you a little bit of information that we have so far, okay? First of all, we've got a bulletin from the FBI. We've got an article from Forbes magazine. We've got something from Clark Howard, the consumer advocate that used to have a program regularly here on WTIC. And there's just one or two more things that we want. This problem may be a lot greater in other areas of the country than it is here. The one thing I'm going to ask you to do is whatever you do, you and any other listeners, do not sign up for this until after you've listened to the program next week. And then after that, if you feel that that's what you want to do, you're certainly welcome to do it. But I think that it would be a disservice for me to say, oh, yeah, we're going to go ahead and do this, without saying, please hold off on it if you're thinking about doing it until after you hear the program next week, okay?
That's a fair thing to say.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go further into it now because the research is half done, but we don't do things halfway here. We want to make sure when we say something that we've got it nailed down really well. So for you, Thomas, and for anyone else who's listening who's heard these advertisements, they get somewhat frantic and urgent in tone, and they ominously threaten all kinds of things. We're going to talk about that in some detail next week, okay?
John, do you have podcasts as well?
These programs are all recorded, and they're turned into podcasts by the radio station. And I think that the Hartford County Bar website has a link to them also. So that's how you would reach these programs, Thomas.
Just in case they can't make it for whatever reason.
Exactly. Okay. So thank you for bringing that up. That's a great question, and we're going to jump to another call. But we will have an answer to that because we think it's very important, and we've been working on it already during the week. Thanks again for letting us know about that. Okay, next up, let's go to Fred in Farmington. You're on Law Talk, and I understand you've got some follow-up concerning the question about real estate property taxes. So tell us more, and thanks for calling.
Yes, that's correct. I'm in the market to buy some real estate in the Connecticut area, actually Farmington Valley. And my question is concerning the surprise property tax bill. When you are, for instance, I'll just make it simple, if you're buying a property that's was on the market a few years ago for $100,000, and now it's worth $200,000 according to the market. So you purchase it for $200,000. Would you not expect that the property tax would increase substantially because of that?
Well, that's an excellent question. I'll tell you what I think, and then we'll see what Mark has to offer on this one. It's my understanding that a lot of municipalities will look at the conveyance tax paid when a new deed is recorded on a property, and then some of them will adjust the assessment figure. You know, we've got appraisal figures and assessment figures, and here in Connecticut, unlike some other states like Massachusetts, the assessment is 70% of the appraised value. But if Blackacre just sold for $200,000 and they only had it assessed at $120,000, I think a lot of them will readjust the assessment to reflect market conditions. And here in Connecticut, the municipality has to do that for everybody once every 10 years anyway. So before I check and see if that answered your question, let's see what Mark might want to add to that.
Thank you.
Yeah, John is correct on that. And the problem is real estate value is kind of an ephemeral thing. It's hard to say whether there's an absolute value. And right now we're in an incredibly inflationary bubble, and it may come back down. And there are ways that people can inflate the value of real estate just by selling it back. I could sell my house to John for twice what it's worth. He'd sell it back to me for four times. Then I would sell it back to him for six times. And now, you know, arguably I've inflated the value of the property. Is it really worth that? Because it's been back and forth and now it's assessed at all this money? Well, look at it.
See, I think that's what you do if you have a whole empire of commercial hotels and golf courses and then want to use those values to borrow money from multinational lenders.
That's happened,
without mentioning any names. But I think Fred's question had a little bit more to do with the taxes increasing right after a sale took place. Now, Fred, if somebody purchases property that's new construction, it's almost guaranteed that it's going to be reappraised and then reassessed based upon the purchase price, because prior to that, it was at best unfinished and in all likelihood a vacant lot the last time that the town had ever appraised it for assessment purposes. So does that help to answer your question, Fred?
Well, it does somewhat. For instance, I believe in Farmington, reassessment used to be every 10 years. Now it's every 5 years. From what I understand, the calculation for the new assessment, the new property tax bill on a property, is a combination of different factors, one including the market value. Perhaps adjacent properties comes into play as well. I'm just not very clear on how I can get my hands around the new property. If I were to purchase it, I know it's an inflated market, but how do I attain what is going to actually be the new bill? I would assume it's going to go up, but how much? I mean, the previous lady called and was very surprised. I don't want any big surprises other than the fact that I know during closing I'm going to be apprised at what the approximate property tax bill will be, but it can go up, for instance, if reassessment is next
Fred,
year.
Fred, I'm going to have to interrupt you because that music is my warning to say that we've got to wrap up the program. Check with the tax assessor before you buy the property. Tell them this is what you're planning on paying. See what they can tell you about predicting what the taxes will be, okay? But thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Gotta run by now. All right, time to say thank you to all of you for listening. Thanks to those that have called and let us help you with your problems. Special thanks to my guest, attorney Mark Dubois. Mark, thank you so much for coming in. Thanks also to our producers, who are the folks that you speak with when you call, and it is their job to make us sound good. If they have, thanks for everything they've done. See ya.
Law Talk is presented as a public service by the Hartford County Bar Association. Its content is intended to be educational and informative, but is not considered to be formal legal opinion. If you want or need a formal legal opinion upon which to rely in decision-making, please consider formally engaging an attorney to review all relevant facts in detail and examine the pertinent law as it applies to those facts. A solid opinion means better decisions. The views expressed during this program are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of the Hartford County Bar Association, its officers, or its directors.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.